Hey guys, Chuck Picata here. I want to do my rant for the month. Actually, it's not a rant. It's just kind of my perspective on burnout. We have a lecture on burnout that was done in the EMA course. It was written by Raman Tabatabai. He's the associate residency director at County, where they have a really nice wellness program for all of their folks. I fully expect that Ken Milne will do that lecture sometime in the next 6 to 9 months for his segment on EMA. But I'm not going to get into that part of it. I want to get into some other perspective. Here's one. You have, when you get out of your residency, a 35-year career ahead of you in emergency medicine. If you're 10 years out, maybe 25, maybe 15 years. But you don't want that career to terminate prematurely unless you wanted to, not because you have to stop what you're doing. And so I think that there are ways to kind of protect yourself so that you can go the marathon of a career in emergency medicine, because it's not a sprint. It is clearly a marathon. So given my 25-year directorship, I'm going to give you my 2 cents. First of all, I think you need to live modestly. Do not buy that $125,000 Porsche Turbo when you get out of your... frankly, don't buy it for the first 10 years of your career. The fact of the matter is that when you have excessive debt, you become vulnerable. You are no longer in a position to say, no, I don't want to work 19 shifts this month. Didn't I work Thanksgiving and you want me to work Christmas and New Year's too? It's the power to say no. The way they capture monkeys in the jungle, you get a coconut, you make a small hole in the coconut, and inside the coconut, you put some treats that the monkey wants. And the hole is just big enough for the monkey to get his hand in to the coconut. Once he grabs those treats, he tries to get his hand out, but he's made a fist now and he can't get it out of that hole. And so now the monkey can't climb the tree, and that's how you capture the monkey. And that's basically the same thing. When you have bills coming out the kazoo, you don't have the power to say no. And I think that that's really kind of an important insight. Now, I don't want to hear about your $250,000, $300,000 debt from medical school or college, because that's easy to pay off. You're talking about, you can't pay that off, $30,000 a year for 10 years and pay all that stuff off. Do you know any other career where a resident goes from making $60,000 a year to $300,000 the next day when they graduate? Know of anything like that? No way. So there's plenty of money to handle those essential debts. Just be careful about laying on debt that you don't need. That's number one. Live modestly. Number two, let's see here. Oh, yeah, stay healthy. You need to learn about sleep hygiene because, you know, most people are going to be doing shifts. And there's a lot to it. It's not just something that you go to sleep and think you're going to sleep 8 hours. Billy Mallon did a great essay on sleep and sleep hygiene and shift rotations about maybe 6 or 9 months ago in EMA. And I encourage you to look up that talk that he did. You can listen to it. You can read about it. So I think that that's important. You got to know about that. Number two, exercise regularly. Now, just because I didn't do that doesn't mean it was, that was a mistake, to tell you the truth. I read tons and tons of papers in the primary care literature, and the advantages of exercise just go across the board in all kinds of spheres. And one of them is basically having a good outlook when you exercise. It's all those endorphins, all this other stuff that's going. You don't want to exercise? Fine. Hire a coach. And that coach is expecting you to be at that gym on Tuesday and Thursday, and they expected you to pay them the $40, so you better show up. So this is a way to motivate yourself to get out and do the things that you need to do. Watch your weight. You gain 3 pounds a year for 20 years. That's 60 pounds. It really is easily something that creeps up on you. Get a primary care doctor. Go for the routine kind of stuff that you're supposed to go for, your colonoscopies and all of that other kind of stuff. I think that that's an important thing to do. Also, get some help. If you don't want to cut the grass, don't cut the grass. Hire somebody to cut the grass. If you don't want to do your laundry and clean the house, hire a housekeeper. Hire people to make your life easier so that you have the time to do the things that you enjoy and that are important to other people, not only you. Develop some outside interests. Yeah, like join the bowling team, right? Not exactly. But in any case, you need to have some interest outside of the hospital. You need to socialize. So you either do it through other activities, or one of the other ways is to have kids. Now, you're going to go to things at the school play. You're going to go to soccer practice, soccer, which is a horrible experience. You go to soccer with the other miserable parents and you talk to them about soccer practice. You take your kids to scouts. That's cool. I like that. So I think that that's kind of important. You got to find a good job. There are tons of jobs out there. You are in the driver's seat. Take a look at the back of the Annals of Emergency Medicine. There's a bajillion ads there wanting doctors. So pick the place you want to go. And if you're not happy with where you are, there are all of these other opportunities. Is it a little hard to pick up yourself and move? Yes, but it's much more important to protect your career. So, you know, you want to work near your relatives, you want to work in a teaching hospital, community hospital, you're a skier, you want to work in Colorado, sort of a million other people want to work in Colorado. So, you know, that's kind of part of it. In the process of looking at a job, find a boss that you like. I have read multiple articles that say how important it is that you like your boss. Is your boss a mentor to you? Do they want you to see your career blossom? Are they going to facilitate that stuff happening? Or are they just doing the schedule at work? That's definitely important. Now, you know, when you're first starting out with a job, you might think the guy's an angel, but down the road. But in any case, ask around. Ask around. First impressions can be misleading. Find an ED that has a clan mentality. What is a clan mentality? Clan mentality is an ED where people like each other. They work together as a team. They socialize with each other. They go out with each other. Al Sacchetti describes his ER. He's been there probably 30 years. And if you want to listen to a place that is a clan ER, it's this place. Last time I talked to him, he said the 25 people in the ED rode their bicycles from South Jersey down to the Atlantic City for a breast cancer raising event. 25 people from their department did this. What's the likelihood of your department doing that? He makes sausages and peppers, you know, Thursday night, brings them into the department where they all munch up and people bring in food together and they have a good time and they socialize together. That's a clan mentality. Don't work in a sick emergency department. And there are a lot of sick emergency departments. Too many patients, not enough help, the holding too many patients who need to be admitted, and the management chooses not to fix the problem. Because, you know, people think, well, it's always been that way. You cannot tell me that management cannot fix these problems. We had people on the moon 25 years ago, and you can't clean out that emergency department? It's strictly a management issue, top down. If the CEO wants that fixed, that will get fixed. If a CEO doesn't want to get fixed, you're going to be working in a miserable place. And the problem with working in a miserable place is that everybody else in the department is subjected to this misery. And everybody else in the department is subjected to burnout, your colleagues as well. So a sick department is a real, real problem. It's not just you. So, you know, studies have looked at how to avoid burnout. And one of the, you know, you can focus on the individual and talk about meditation and mindfulness and all this other stuff, or you can focus on the department, making it a department that is not sick, and a department that people want to work in, that they look forward to going to work because they like the people who are there and the workload is reasonable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not an either or thing, but you'll get a lot more mileage, frankly, fixing your department than trying to focus on any one individual. And speaking of individual, this is kind of out of the blue, out of the blue. If you get a doctor who keeps on showing up 10 minutes late, you have a problem, doctor. That is a sign that I don't want to be here. You know, out of the blue, Greg Henry and I were talking, and he came up with the same conclusion. We had doctors like that. He had doctors like that. They are trying to tell you something. I don't like being here. I don't like working. And you should probably use that as a opportunity to talk to somebody if that's the case, because it's not a matter of just keeping you out of trouble. You want to keep your colleagues out of trouble. And if you see somebody slipping, first thing to do is kind of be a friend and say, Frank, you know, you seem to be kind of down these days, or whatever it takes for you to kind of break the ice and try to get them to talk. You know, I think it's really important to find a place where the work expectations are reasonable. If you're seeing 2.5 patients an hour on average, which means some patient hours you're seeing 2 and other times you're seeing 4 or 5, you need to work 8-hour shifts. I can tell you that every person I know who have worked 12-hour shifts and moved to 8, they will never go back to 12. I know when you have 12, you don't have to go to hospital as often. But remember, this is a 35-year marathon, and the idea of 12-hour shifts in busy places just is a fundamental mistake. I've talked to 1,000 doctors about this. And nobody, rarely will they want to go back to 12s. So that's kind of important. Look for reasonable shift rotations, and do you get vacations, and are there parental leave and those kinds of things. Find a place that uses NPs, PAs, and scribes. You know what that means? It means you've got a smart administration. They understand that we got to get the right person for the job. And so you got to bring that. You don't need to be a board certified emergency department physician to do that. You know, get the right people. Yeah, supervise it, sure. But the fact of the matter is that your work needs to be facilitated. You need scribes, you need PAs, you need MPs. Your work needs to be facilitated so that you can see patients more comfortably, so that you have more time to talk to patients, so that they like you, because you're not just in and out kind of thing, high wham bam kind of thing. When people like you and they let you know it, it's such a rewarding thing in the department. And, you know, the home run is, doctor, do you have a private practice? Wow. When you hear that, man, it's makes you really feel good. And I guess lastly, find a place where you have some voice, that you're not just going to be a worker bee forever and ever and ever, that you have the opportunity to move up in your group, that there's the opportunity for some leadership, and there's the opportunity for some leadership in the hospital. You get to be, you know, on the pharmacy and therapeutics committee, and then you become the chair of the pharmacy and therapeutics committee, and then you become on the executive committee, and the ER physicians are becoming more and more recognized in the hospital as an important part of it and as leaders of the hospital. And it's not just the hospital. I mean, ASEP, they get all kinds of committees. You get onto some of the finance committee or whatever. There's a bajillion committees of ASEP. You can become a member. You meet other people. You get to socialize. You know them. You like them. You have common interest. You become a chair of that committee. Next thing you know, you're president of ASEP, for crying out loud. And lastly, I guess, job security. Be careful. You know, these places say, oh, well, you'll be a partner in 3 years. They haven't made anybody a partner in 3 years of the last 20 years. And they really, you know, some of the meanest groups are the small private groups. They get one contract, two contracts, and they take in these young doctors, lots of nights, lots of weekends, you know, earning your stripes kind of thing. And next thing you know, they cut you loose. Be real, real careful. I've heard lots of stories about doctors who got burned like that. It doesn't happen in the really big groups. But it does happen in the small to intermediate-sized groups. And on the other end of the spectrum, ask him what happens to a doctor who's 55. Does that doctor have to work as many night shifts as the 35-year-old doctor? If the 55-year-old doctor does, that's a fundamental mistake. That should not happen. The management of the group doesn't recognize the fact that when you get older, it just becomes much more harder to work those shifts. And if you're trying to protect somebody's 35-year career, you won't burn it out by making them do something which is physiologically more and more challenging as they get older. So I'd ask that question when I was looking for a new job, because there are some groups that are just stupid. And they say, oh, no, everybody's equal here. We got this 35-year-old. He's equal to the 55-year-old or 60-year-old. And we all got to do the same amount, you know, That's all crap. In any case, that's Rick Bucata's take on burnout. You got to work to prevent this. You got to take this seriously. It's easy to slip into this stuff. It's not something that you should just kind of, well, I hope I don't get it kind of thing. There are things that you can actively do to limit the cause, limit the problem. A lot of it focuses on you, but much more frankly focuses on your job. Rick Bucata here signing out. Rick's Rants, Burnout.